Do we know what we're talking about? Okay.
Of course, we know what we're talking about, Gina.
Hello, and welcome to Izzy and Gina in Stitches, informal conversation about life in general and art and creativity in particular, with me, Gina Ferrari.
And me, Izzy Moore. Hello, Gina. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you. Yes. Could do with a bit more sleep, which is really frustrating at the moment. But
what's up with you and your sleep?
Don't know. Just haven't slept well for about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Either can't fall asleep or wake up in the middle of the night, and it's really frustrating. So
yeah,
which leaves me with a very low level headache all the time. Which, yeah, but that aside, I'm sort of got lots of energy, and I've been doing painting and quite a bit of painting. I'm organising an art trail in the village again.
Oh, right, cool.
And I've even started a bit of filming for a new course, but whether that will happen or not, I don't know yet.
Ooh, exciting.
Well, not that exciting, but there
oh,
we
no,
go.
Don't say that.
Oh, dear. I think this is something we might talk about next time. But
yeah, we might.
Yeah, but yeah, you have to wonder why we're doing it.
Stop it.
But there we go. But no, but life's okay at the moment. Yes.
Good.
What about you? How are you?
I'm all right. Same issues with sleep that I've been suffering with for several years. The other night, it was so frustrating. I've been doing this thing, which I'll talk about in a moment, but just on the sleep, which I wasn't going to talk about, but now you've mentioned it. So I've been doing this thing, and I needed to set an alarm for 5:30. And when you set an alarm on your little Apple Watch thing, it's quite difficult to see if it's AM or PM. I'd obviously got it wrong. I had the best night's sleep in a very long time up until 5:30 AM. You can tell what happened.
Oh dear.
Oh my goodness. Stop it. So that was really stupid.
And I was about to ask, why were you waking up at 5? Why did you set an alarm for 5 AM anyway?
Completely by mistake, Gina. Yeah. And so then, of course, I couldn't go back to sleep. And same this morning, you know, I had an awful night's sleep, really broken. And then I was fast asleep at 7 when the alarm went. But yeah, I've been doing the same in terms of filming course things. I've been very busy doing that. I have been finally getting some course videos done. And it's still not the one I've been promising for over a year. It's still not free motion embroidery because I've been completely distracted by this idea from the Icelandic business guru lady of doing this ultimate freebie. So I've even titled it on my computer, all the files, I've called them ultimate freebie. So this is going to be a free course.
Okay.
And I said to some people the other day, when we had our stitching meeting, I said, it's either complete, you know, it's either going to be brilliant and I'm onto something and it's going to be really good. I've got a bee in my bonnet about this thing.
Right.
And it's going to be really, really good. Or it's complete and utter nonsense. And I haven't got a clue. You know,
I doubt that very much.
I swing from one end of the scale to the other within a day, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is brilliant. This is going to be really, really good fun. And then I'm filming. I think, yeah, that looks great. And then I think, this is utter. And the people I was with, they said, well, couldn't it just be okay?
True.
And that was really interesting, though, because I thought, no. I either want to go down in a blaze of glory, do something awful, and then just sort of sink without trace.
Or totally self-destruct.
Or do something, you know, if it's going to be bad, then, you know, let it be completely bad. And I go, well, that's complete nonsense. I will never do that again.
Right.
Or it will be really, really good and it will be useful. Because what's the point? This sort of leads on to what we're talking about. What's the point of doing something sort of half-assed? What's the point of doing something mediocre? Anyone really could do something mediocre. That doesn't set me apart from anyone else. It's just another thing.
True.
I want this to actually be useful and to be valuable. So that's So that's terrifying, setting out to say that as well, which is why I'm just off the scale with insecurity. And yeah, so that's occupying me. But no, the reason I had to set an alarm, I've been doing this thing. It's about finding another hour in your day. And it's not one of these sort of male get up at 5 o'clock, hit the gym, blah, blah, blah sort of things. It's for people with ADHD. She specializes in that. And
right.
She said, you've got to start with working out where you're actually putting your time now. So for 3 days, I had to track what I was doing every 15 minutes.
God, and that would take up all your time.
Well,
just tracking it. So, that seems so counterintuitive to me. I'm like, if I have to write down what I'm doing every 15 minutes, that's all I'm doing all day.
What she did, she provided a printout. So with all these little time slots, except hilariously, she has very severe dyslexia. And so there are a couple of bits that she skipped at half an hour. So that's quite funny. So I set these alarms for every half an hour. I couldn't be bothered to go through my watch and set 15 minute alarms. That would drive me nuts. Because, of course, my first question, everyone's first question is, I have ADHD. How will I remember to do this? So you have to have these alarms. And then when the alarm went on the hour or half hour, I then set a 15 minute timer for the next one.
Right.
And I had my little clipboard and I just took it around with me and I just jotted down what I was doing at the
all
time,
day.
All day.
Oh,
and
God.
Oh, my. It's absolutely horrendous. And the first day, yeah, you're right, I was so stressed.
Yeah.
And she said, don't do it, don't wait for the perfect day to do it. You've got to just do it, because there is no such thing as a perfect day. There is no such thing as a standard day.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you just got to do it whenever, whatever's going on. And of course, I was trying to sell some courses. So of course, my social media is off the charts.
Right.
Checking messages, checking emails, replying to messages. Oh, checking for some more messages. Yeah. So, yeah. So there's been some insights. I mean, it's pretty obvious what they were going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. This week we are talking about brand, which doesn't sound very sexy at all, talking about brand. We're artists. No. We're not tins of baked beans. We're not Heinz baked beans. So we're going to talk about what we mean by brand, particularly in relation to what we do, what makes up our brand, and why it's important. So along the way, there are all sorts of things that we can talk about, and they're all interrelated. And one thing I would say that himself, who is a bit of a branding expert, because this is what he does all the time, he gave me lots of guidelines, lots of things that we could talk about, lots of pointers. But he said at the end of it, he said, the thing is, though, it's not an exact science.
No.
Look at Meta, look at Facebook. They did all their market research, all the thinking, lots of busy meetings, I expect, bandying names backwards and forwards with what they could call themselves. And they went with Meta.
Yeah.
Which, absolute nonsense.
Garbage. Yeah.
Yeah, total nonsense. So, you know, you can think you've got it right. You can go all around the houses and plan it all very carefully. And actually, you could still get it wrong.
And I mean, just an aside, I think, you know, you can do all that sort of planning and plan out what you want your brand to be and everything else, or you can just not think about it, which is probably my approach. But you've still, whether you like it or not, have a brand, don't you? So you're still presenting something. Yeah.
Yeah, which is why it's important, because yeah, we have one, whether we know it or whether we're exactly aware of it or not. Yeah. And in a way, if we don't address it, if we don't consider it in any way, then other people will decide what our brand is. So I was just thinking about Jane Emerson last week, mm-hmm, when she did her needle felted robin.
Yeah.
Then she said everyone thought of her as the Robin Lady.
Indeed.
And she had to sort of backtrack for that. No. I am not the Robin Lady.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that, exactly the same thing with myself, actually. It's interesting because I've been joining in with her fabric recipes.
Yes.
And my social media on Instagram's gone a bit crazy. I've got loads of new followers and it's all people to do with fabrics. And people, when I say I want to do painting, the people who tell me, oh, but you should be doing this. Why do people think they should tell me what I should be doing?
Yeah, frustrating.
That people see me as a textile artist, which, you know, I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't see it any other way. So maybe I've not been good enough at presenting my brand. I don't know. So
yeah. I mean, going right back to the very beginning,
yeah.
The word itself, brand, it's from, I'm thinking cowboys, and horses, it's a brand is that mark that says this, this thing is mine. It's how people identify things.
Yeah.
And so going back to the Heinz baked beans, I suppose it's a way of identifying quality, maybe, or, in some cases. And so when something goes wrong for a particular brand, you've then lost that trust, haven't you?
Yeah.
Because it's a mark of, this is a thing. Yes, it's a tin of baked beans, but it's completely different from that tin of baked beans because these are the best.
Sure.
And so it's how people identify us. It's how they know me from you, because my brand is different. And also as artists, so some people, like I'm thinking, is it Lorna? I always get mixed up with whether she's Laura or Lorna. Laura Horn.
Lorna Horn.
Is it Lorna?
Yeah.
Why can I never remember that? Lorna Horn. She has a very distinctive colour palette.
Yes.
You see something of hers on Instagram, you just know it's her.
Yeah, but it's not just about the colour, is it?
No, it's not just about the colour, but as artists, that is a really powerful part of what we do. But this is the other thing. It is more than the colours. It's more than just a logo, isn't it?
A logo. No, it's everything about us. You know, if we deliver things late, if we don't reply to emails, if we are rude to people, that is all part of our brand.
Yeah, exactly. It's everything we say, but it's also how we do it.
Yeah.
And it's, in a way, it's like the energy that we put out there, the vibe.
Sure.
So I suppose in terms of you and your brand, you're saying that, you know, people are perceiving you in a way that's different from how you perceive yourself. Maybe that's to do with the energy you're putting out in terms of what you're doing. I don't know.
Maybe.
That's getting a bit personal, isn't it?
It is really a bit personal, yeah.
Sorry.
I think it's more to do with the history of what I've done.
Yeah.
And I've spent a long time building up a successful career in textiles, and it's not working for me now. And I want to sort of move. And it's hard to move direction because maybe what I'm doing in painting isn't anything as good as I was doing in textiles, because I'm at the beginning of that journey. That's so people say, oh, but you're so good at this. And I think, yeah, but I want to be good at this.
So that transition, though, is part of your story, if you like. That's part of, because the way himself does it, because he goes off and he does these brand workshops all the time. He had the reason we were in Marlborough, he was doing a brand workshop with a fantastic fabric company,
right?
So my ears prick up. I think, did you get any freebies of this fabric that's £130 a meter by any chance, you know? And their top selling fabric is a nice linen. No freebies, but he did have some nice sushi in this mansion.
Right.
Anyway, so he goes off, he does these brand meetings, and he basically splits it into three parts. And the first part of that is their story.
Right, yes.
Where have they come from? What are they doing? What's working? What's not working? Where do they want to go? So our story, and as artists, it's a massive part of what we do. And communicating that, it's all part of what makes us relatable, what makes people feel that they know us in some way. So your story with going from textiles to painting, that is as much part of your brand as what other people see. So if they don't see that whole story, then that's under your control, isn't it?
It is just interesting. It's almost like other people are resistant to that change as well.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's, well, like with the whole going back to the Facebook and Meta thing.
Yes.
You know, they change their name to something which makes absolutely no sense to anybody other than themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really, really hard. Oh, it can be. It can be. Yeah.
So do you think you've set out purposely to create a brand? Because that's where I think as artists we're perhaps slightly different from a big company.
Well, I mean, last year when I was it last year was my might even have been the year before now. I think it was the year before when I swapped my mailing list to Flowdesk. I spent a stupid amount of time choosing my colours and mixing colours and deciding what my colours are going to be. And since when I've not used them at all.
Okay. I remember thinking about this when I was doing the degree and we did our professional practice and thinking about, you know, how we present ourselves and having all our promotional material and having the same logo on everything. So the business cards all had the same logo. Gosh, it was boring. My business cards now, I've got different pictures on all of them.
Over the years, I've made the mistake of starting with that, with trying to make it all look pretty.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a nonsense because right at the beginning, you don't actually know what you're doing and even sort of what your artistic style is.
True. Yeah.
And you can just waste a whole lot of time just making things look pretty, which actually nobody notices at all. And so I have got caught up in it before, yes, with how things look. I did design a little logo for my Podia website, which I now like. And I looked at fonts for ages, like for my newsletter, to try and find the one that goes at the very top. And I like that. So I'm trying to use that. Can't remember what it is.
That is noticeable.
Oh, thank you. But in terms of how things look, so I have put some time into it and I have become more refined over the years, I'd like to think. I'm a bit less sort of throw everything at it.
Sure.
Trying to calm it all down a bit. Although, is that really me? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, because I think a brand is also a lot about how others perceive us. And when I sort of looked at your website and get your newsletter, there's a sort of cleanness about it and the colours are very pretty. No, it does come across as a look.
That's really refreshing because that's why I chose Flowdesk, because I got so frustrated with MailChimp. I couldn't make it look nice and I wanted it to look clean and fresh. And so I suppose also cheerful, upbeat. Yeah. So that is as much a part of my brand. And also the way over the last year as well, it's all linked to my writing, my confidence now in writing. It still takes a long time. But when I just relaxed a bit and I was just more honest and I was just much more myself. And especially, you know, the tone of voice. Because I trained as a legal secretary and Nick, he used to just say, oh my goodness, the way you write, it's like you're writing up a business contract, you know, stop it. And I can't help it, it's what I was used to writing. So I have relaxed a lot and I'm a lot more casual, I'm a lot more upbeat, and that's, you know, how I write captions and then how I reply to people. Sure. It's very informal, but with hopefully without being too silly, because, oh, that was a thing, again, from my childhood, being called silly.
Yeah, well, you spoke about this with the limiting beliefs, didn't you? Yeah.
The last thing I want is for anyone to think that I am silly. Upbeat, cheerful.
Oh, I do.
Stop it. Upbeat, informal, cheerful, but actually deadly serious. Don't mess with me. How about you? How have you thought about this?
It's interesting because perceiving what yours looks like, and it to me it all looks very clean and pretty, and I often think, oh, I wish I could make mine look like that, but I know I cannot be bothered with hours of fiddling with Canva and all these other things and the tech that I've got to get my head around. I'd spend all day doing that, and I think, no, for me, this is me, it's good enough.
Okay.
And I think that's part of me.
Yeah.
But it kind of links back to what you were saying, because it's about presenting us as we are. And I think as long as you have an integrity and the way you speak to people is the way you'd speak to people in real life and the way you deal with people and you present yourself as you are, then that's pretty much going the right way.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think I instinctively use colours. But, you know, if you ask me what font I use, I couldn't tell you. And is it the same over all my different platforms? No, it's not.
No, you know? Well, no, mine isn't either. But, no, but you know, it's just, I think the yeah. newsletter is quite a personal thing, isn't it? It's going straight into someone's inbox. I mean, they do actually have to open it as well, which is another matter. So I don't sweat it. And you say, like, you know, doing stuff on Canva and stuff. I don't sweat things on Canva. It's just I find that quite straightforward. And I'm interested in making things look a particular way. But then the fact that I'm willing to do that and make the time for my newsletter, that's also then carries on into my courses. I put the time in, not just in doing the content, but also things like the little slides that go at the front of the video.
Sure.
I'll put some time into doing that and coming up with titles and making sure the letters look nice with the title of each lesson. And, you know, I'll fiddle about a little bit at the beginning of, because I that's also for me a warm-up exercise, but it's also a brand thing, because people see that and then hopefully they know it's me. They'll see that, like, the little picture for my course, and they'll think, oh, that's Izzy's.
Right, whereas I think my approach to that is, yeah, I've got a title at the front, it's one I've done,
but you have a very distinct way of doing your titles. I could
probably
yours.
But I don't sweat too much about it, because I think, well, they've already bought the course. They're already in there. They want to watch the video. So as long as I'm putting across the information that they need clearly, then that to me is as much as I need to do. I don't worry about tweaking the little bits, because it takes long enough to do the videos, doesn't it? But maybe that's just, you know, our different approach. And like you say, that's what makes you, you, and me, me.
But I do think that, since relaxing into it and being yourself and showing yourself as well, A, it is more relaxing. It just makes everything easier. It makes communication easier, because if you are, it's sort of showing your true colours, isn't it? It's showing the world who you really are.
Well, you can't pretend to be somebody else, can you? It's, gosh, that would be exhausting.
You could try and pretend, but it won't last.
I'd forget which person I was trying to be.
So, that's actually quite exhausting. But I think at the beginning, there is this feeling that we need to be professional. We need to, in order to sell things or to write about things, we need to write in this particular way. Because we see other people doing it and talking about art as well. And we think, oh, gosh, if I don't talk about it like that, then that's not, you know, that's not the proper way to do it. But actually relaxing into it and being much more yourself is then much more distinctive. And that's the whole point, isn't it? We don't want to be the same as everybody else.
No, it's about having an honesty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really.
And also vulnerable. So going back to talking about our story, is sharing when things are working, when they're not working, whether we're feeling good about something or not. That makes it much more relatable for people.
I was going through my blog post, because I wrote a blog post about professionalism, because I finished off with the picture of me going to talk to your Embroiderers Guild and I was crawling under the table.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I can't remember why you were doing that now.
Me crawling under a table? I don't know. Or I wear a knitted wig of cakes, you know, for people. But that's me.
Yes, very much so.
And, you know, if people don't think it's totally professional, well, then that's their problem, really, isn't it?
Knowing that I will tweak the videos and make things look pretty and stuff like that, people then come to expect that from my courses.
Sure.
And it's part of the, if they need a sort of reassurance, well, it's in Izzy. It will be nicely put together, you know, and if there's a problem with the tech, she'll sort it out. And if I send her a message, she will reply. Yeah, this is part of it, isn't it? If people email me, I will reply. If people leave a comment, I will, at the very least, like the comment, heart the comment, reply to them.
And I agree with that totally. I mean, you know, I might not spend as many hours as you tweaking things and making it pretty, but to me, part of my integrity is that I always reply to people. I always try to solve their problems and I try to help them straight away. And, you know, that's part of who I am.
Yeah. Also, going back to the courses as well, so what makes up our brand is also what we are doing. So what we are offering, and what we are offering people, And so by getting to know us through our brand, through the fact that we talk in a particular way, we present ourselves in a particular way, we answer comments and blah, 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 they get to know us. And then part of that is then also what we are offering them. So because they know us and they know what they're getting, they then also know how what we are offering differs from what other people are doing.
Yes.
It helps, just helps with being ourselves and making ourselves visible and stand out from the crowd in a certain way, which can feel a little bit uncomfortable as well. It's this, you know, we want to be seen. We want to be seen, but being seen is also quite scary, isn't it?
It's exposing, isn't it?
It's exposing, yeah. Which is going back to my thing with my course where I'm up and down with whether I actually want the ground to swallow me whole or whether I want it to be, you know, absolutely marvellous and have all these hundreds of people sign up.
Yeah, we could dream.
We can dream, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the attitude, our brand also is our attitude, yeah. So our behaviour, the words we use, all of that.
Yeah, which I think kind of brings us full circle, because I think when I started saying I don't think I've ever consciously thought about creating a brand. However, I've always tried to stay true to myself and who I am. So I think it happens. I think unlike a big corporation where, you know, you have people like Nick come in to help and think about their colours they use and the logo that people immediately recognise and everything like that.
But so funnily enough, that's not the bit he does. He does this sort of delving into, well, what are you actually, where did you come from? What are you actually trying to say? Yeah. What is, like, you know, your mission? What are your attitudes? Because you can't say, that's the other thing, you can't say, because everyone says, oh, our brand, you know, it's all about this, that and the other thing. Well, are you actually doing that? Sure. Do the people in your call centre, do they know that?
Yeah, exactly. It's all got to everything's got to represent the same thing, hasn't it? And be consistent.
Yeah, so for a company, it's obviously different because everybody's got to buy into it. But for an individual, it is just us.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's just us. What you see is what you get.
Yep, that's it, guys.
So next time we will be talking about how this then relates to, how this can link into selling, sales.
Oh. Yeah, it's been a bit of a bugbear with me at the moment, sales, but we'll talk all about that next time.
All the nitty gritty next time, because also by next time, here's a promise, my ultimate freebie will be up and running.
Wow.
Actually, hopefully I'll get something ready by the end of this week. So by the time this comes out, you will be able to see what it's all about.
Exciting.
If I say that now, then I'm going to have to do it, aren't I?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, anyway, have you been up to anything else? Have you discovered anything or done anything exciting, diverting?
Well, a couple of little things, really. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I put it on Instagram. I discovered a little museum in Bedford. I went out with a friend that I never even knew was there.
Oh, the friend or the museum?
No, the friend lives here. I know about the friend. The museum.
Sorry.
But it had most amazing little art collection. It was lovely.
Hey.
And that wasn't
brilliant.
We went to see an exhibition by Edward Borden of prints, which I wasn't actually very impressed with. But their art collection was superb. So that was exciting.
Right. Yeah, lovely.
But that wasn't what I really was going to talk about. I think my other discovery, which I'm sure lots of people have discovered because I did mention it in my newsletter, is the podcast Fail Like an Artist.
Yes.
With Julia Battista and Phoebe Gander, which is very entertaining. Two artists chatting. Pretty much like we do, really, isn't it? But
Very much so, yes.
Very much.
In a similar vein.
It is a similar vein. And it was there was a little comment that I just could not stop laughing on the last one, where Julia was talking about organising things and having spreadsheets and this, that and the other. And Phoebe, who just happens to have ADHD as well, said, oh, see, you've got your spreadsheets and I've just got my brain, she said. And it's like an etch-a-sketch because when I move, everything goes.
Exactly. I picked up on that. I thought, oh my word, yes.
A brain like an etch-a-sketch. I totally relate. And I was saying this to my son yesterday. I said, you know, when I walk the dog, I've got all these great ideas, things I'm going to do. I can write a whole blog post in my head with just the right language and the right turn of phrase. I come home to write it down. I can't even remember what I was going to write about.
Yeah, So I was talking to himself about what would be a catchy title for this podcast. I had a brilliant idea when we were halfway around the woods. Can I remember it now? No. So you're going to get what you're going to get, folks, because...
Yeah.
Let's see.
And this is where we're different, because you'll think about, oh, what about title? What about title? And you send me all these messages. I'm like, I don't care. call it what you want. So what about you? Have you got any diversions and discoveries?
A couple of things. One is a silly thing and one is a brilliant thing. The silly thing is we've discovered a series on Netflix, unfortunately. It's been sitting there for ages and we just watched the first one. It's called The Good Place. And it's about a girl who dies and she's sitting in a waiting room, basically, and then goes in and it's Michael. I said, oh, well, where am I? You're in the good place.
Oh.
And it's about being in the good place versus being in the bad place and discovering that actually maybe you don't belong in the good place. And then she meets all these other people and they have various adventures. And we just got absolutely hooked. The first one, right. We thought, is this a bit silly? It's got Ted Danson in it, who's absolutely brilliant.
Right.
So he is fantastic. And yeah, we're on to series three now. So that is just fun. And they're nice length. They're sort of 25 minutes or something, 20 odd minutes. So you can get through a couple in an evening. It's just relaxing and it's just fun. So that's a bit silliness. And then mostly what I've been inspired by this week is the light, as in daylight.
Returning.
Daylight, yes. And over Christmas, the Christmas period, I was working on my bullet journal. I can't remember if I said this before or not. Working on my bullet journal, doing my plans for the year. Because, you know, last year I tried doing things in these sort of 12-week chunks, yeah, or whatever, and then blah, blah, blah. I actually settled on 6 weeks.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot about this lately. It's like between the equinox and the...
Yeah, because I know from experience, because I've tried. Trying to plan in 12 weeks is hopeless, because I'll spend the first 10 weeks thinking I've got all the time in the world. And then I'll have 2 weeks left and go, oh, my word. Panic, deadline. So 12 weeks is too long. 4 weeks or a month is too short.
Okay.
2 weeks is definitely too short. So I've settled on 6 weeks and I worked out I could get 5 6-week chunks between January and when I go on holiday.
Right.
And then there's a 4-week chunk, which is August, basically. And then there's another 3 6-week chunks up until the end of the year. I thought, that's brilliant. That's superb. And then I thought, what could these 6-week chunks be called? It'd be really cool if they had names. And then I got into the whole Celtic calendar thing.
Yeah.
And I realized that it sort of fits.
Yes.
And so the first 6 weeks was Imbolc, which ended last Thursday, which is also called Candlemas. And it's to do with the coming of the light. So for the past 5 weeks, we're now in week 6 of that chunk.
Yeah.
I've known it was called Imbolc. I know it finished round about that time. And so I've been able to see the difference it has made in the light every day as we're heading towards spring. And it has just been so helpful to see it as that chunk of time having an identity. It's not just January going on and on and on and on and on, because January does, doesn't it?
It does. And that's why I've been looking at it, because I had, you know, this total creative block. I mean, busy up to Christmas. And I thought, oh, come on. We all think January, a new start, it's all going to be great. And it's not. You just want to hibernate, don't you?
Yes.
But this month, beginning of February, I noticed a distinct change. And you think, well, you know, it's still cold, it's everything else, but the light is returning and it just feels different.
Yeah. So starting on Monday the 13th, is Ostara. Hey! Well, in my calendar anyway.
Right.
So the next 6 week chunks is Ostara, which is the equinox.
Yes.
Because that one finishes just after the equinox and my daughter's birthday as well. So it's been really helpful to see these 6 week chunks as having a unique identity. And I was going to, although it hasn't really worked yet, tie in my newsletter with these various chunks of time.
Okay.
Because I thought that might also direct my thinking in terms of what I wanted to write about. So like I say, it hasn't really worked out because I've ended up doing a newsletter for each of the podcasts again. So, which is another thing I wasn't necessarily going to do.
No, you weren't going to do, no.
Yeah, I was going to have a distinct newsletter just for the 6-week chunks and then a little short one for the podcasts.
Sure.
Just to just calm it all down and stop spending so much time looking at my computer and more time actually doing the thing. So I'm inspired anyway. I'm inspired by the light. I'm definitely feeling more energetic. It's good. And we had breakfast outside yesterday.
Yeah, I know. That was a bit mad. It wasn't that warm.
It was sunny. it was sunny and it was dry. And we had big coats on.
Yeah.
We ate our porridge.
Actually, it just reminds me, I've also been reading a book called Wintering at the moment by Catherine May, possibly. I'll put it in the show notes.
Uh-huh.
And she talks about these seasons and how this period of wintering is something we need to recover from. And yeah, it's quite interesting. But yeah.
I'm sure Beth Kempton wrote a book where she talked about the different Japanese seasons. Yeah. Oh, we are going off on a tangent now, aren't we?
We are. See, one thing leads to another.
No, I can't remember which book it was, because I think in the Japanese system, they break the year up into these chunks. They're very small little chunks.
Oh, very, very small chunks. Yes, I have read about. Yeah.
Sort of like, this is the time of the cherry blossom. This is the time of the whatever. I can't remember what it.
But they're about 12 days long or something silly like that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Short. Yeah.
But again, they have this unique identity. I do have a tendency to fight against the season. I don't like it. Stomp around the house. Why is it so dark? I don't like this. I just. But giving each season an identity has really helped, and I'm looking forward already actually to the end of the year, because that last 6-week chunks, Yule, that hopefully is going to be me being all Christmassy, wintry, and not be a work chunk. If I can see that as being my wintering sort of chunk of time, my hibernating chunk of time where I can do all my Christmassy wintery things, then that makes me feel a lot more positive rather than just sort of crashing into Christmas and sort of skidding to a halt on the 24th. So big plans.
We shall see.
We'll see. Sorry, one last thing. The whole thing about the Celtic year and all this sort of thing, it could be perceived as being a little bit woo. I'm not going to go out and start doing mandalas with leaves and things in the woods like some people do and doing all of that. I'm not that sort of a person, but I am intrigued by all these rhythms and things in the natural world and how it can be useful. But I don't feel confident. That's probably why I haven't put it in my newsletter, talking about all this sort of thing, because I'm not someone who's generally like that externally, I suppose. It's something I think inside, but not that's something I'm used to talking about. So in terms of that becoming a part of my brand, I don't feel confident in that, in sort of making a big thing of it at the moment.
But you don't have to share everything about yourself and that makes you tick.
No.
Publicly as part of your brand, do you?
You don't, but I do have a tendency to overshare. But also maybe this is part of me as well. I want everything to be authentic. And I suppose it's learning how to be authentic without necessarily sharing all the minutiae of what's going on in my head.
You can be authentic, but still not show everything about you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that was one of the things that I used to get me on, because I wrote a blog very regularly. And you get people who just assume they really knew you. And you think, no, you don't actually, you know.
This is still a curated version.
It's a curated version of me. You see the parts of me I'm willing to share with the world.
Yes.
But yeah.
That was a really good chat. I really liked talking about all that today. And so, yes, next time we are talking about, selling, sales. Just shiver down the spine, doesn't it? The thought of having to go out there and sell things. Thank you very much for listening. I do hope that it's been useful and interesting, And if you have enjoyed it, please do forward it to a friend, leave us a review and subscribe as well. All of those things helps other people to find us. We will be back in a couple of weeks. Meanwhile, you can find us at ginaferrari-art.co.uk and you can find me at isabelmoore.co.uk. And I will put the link for my ultimate freebie in the show notes if you would like to check that out. So until next time, thank you very much for listening. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
So on Wednesday, I will see you at 11 o'clock, London Bridge. What do we want to do about eating something?
I think we could just find somewhere, don't you? I wouldn't know where to book or anything like that. We're only two of us. We're only little.
Yeah. Squeeze us in. Yeah.
Yeah. Just give us some food and a glass of wine.
Yeah, we'll be happy. Perfect. No, that'd be really exciting.
We can actually say it's business. We can say it's a planning meeting for you.
A planning meeting. We could.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Not going to. No. Thank you for listening. If you like the music, it's by Ixon, and you can find it at soundcloud.com/Ixon, and the link is also in the show notes.